Welcome back to another week of This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
Speaking of welcome back, you've been gone. Where's this Patagonia mythical land that you've been? Is this
I've just been sitting at home playing WoW this whole time.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's my WoWcation. I'm going to Azeroth.
Yes.
It's south of France and Candyland.
Yes, exactly. No, Patagonia was awesome. It was really good. Yeah. This is this picture you see here was taken by my friend Mike Iam down there. He got some really good shots. My friend Ari Bixhorn.
Outside the Starbucks?
Yes, is like right. Exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you can't see. There's a Walmart just off the frame there.
Nice.
Patagonia is awesome. Unfortunately, didn't run into any Channel Niners or Channel Nuevaers, as they call themselves down there.
Yeah, you really got that accent down. And you, see you decided not to shave this morning?
Yeah, this is about 5 o'clock shadow for me.
Yeah, this is about 10 minutes ago shaved for me.
Interesting, the technology down there. They have all these internet cafes, right? It's about $2 to $4 U.S. to use it for an hour.
That's pretty expensive.
It wasn't too bad.
In their local currency, that's like a billion. Right?
Well, in Chile is like 500 to 1. In Argentina, it's about 3 to 1. So it's about 3 pesos for 15 minutes, basically.
Okay.
I walk into these internet cafes and they're all running Vista. I'm like, wow, that's pretty sweet. Until you sit down and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't Vista. They have XP skin to look like Vista.
No.
And I kid you not, you have to look really closely because even if you go
that
like...
That is hilarious.
If you run WinVer, it still comes up as saying Vista Ultimate. I mean, the only way you're able to tell, and Ari pointed this out, was that in Vista, you know, the little start button, it goes above the taskbar, whereas in XP, you're not allowed to do that. And so if you look click carefully, it doesn't go above the taskbar. And every single machine I used down there was running Vista.
Wow, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
I wonder, are you sure it's not like a limited edition?
It's definitely, because I even asked one of the guys and he told me.
That it was XP?
Yeah, and when you boot up, it's XP.
It says XP, okay.
But that tells me that they like the look and feel of Vista, but they just don't, I don't think that the hardware that they have in these cafes is really great for running Vista.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Also, I had my Zune down there.
Yeah.
And I love the Zune. I'm a big fan. But obviously, it just doesn't have huge traction. This guy saw my Zune, and he goes, "Do you work for Microsoft?" I kid you not. I mean,
funny.
It was pretty funny.
And you do.
And I do.
Yeah, this week. So, all right. So, cool stuff. Glad to have you back. You know, the share to my Sonny. Really.
Thanks. That means a lot. So, seriously, what's been happening while I've been gone? I have really not even reviewed what we're talking about this week. So.
Which is what's going to make it interesting because it's really just all about, you know, I can't even make something up. That's
it's
clever.
This is like PowerPoint karaoke for me right now.
Okay. Well, this will be good. So, Photosynth
released.
So, people can actually make their own synths. So I think we've talked about this before, but it's you take a bunch of 2D images in different areas, different wise. You actually want to do different heights, different colors. It synths them, combines them together into one 3D world, if you will, that you can walk through.
Right. We should do a photosynth of our studio. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. That sounds real exciting. Wow. Is that the gaffer? Is that wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Let's find some place interesting.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, anyways.
But okay. Wasn't Laura working on a video that tells you how to build a photosynth?
Yes. So we'll include a bunch of links for videos, but this one's nice in that it does the how-to and what's the best way to do it.
Okay.
We'll include a bunch of links. So definitely check it out. There's a bunch of synths already built. They're getting nailed with load as we speak, so you can only surf rather than upload new ones.
Right.
So, but that's good. That means they're popular. And
right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, other stuff going on. .NET Reflector. So, Lutz Roeder, before he went to come work for Microsoft, had built this tool called Reflector, and what it does is it's like ILDASM, if you will, except instead of just looking at IL, you can actually revert from IL into code.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the tool called Reflector, and I use this all the time. So, I don't know if you use it or
if
you
sure,
like,
used it. Yeah,
of course. No. Yeah. When you get mail. So this is apparently being transferred over to Redgate Software. So my biggest concern is making sure that it's free, but it seems like it's going to be free. Although there could be like the home premium version or something like that.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so it seems cool, interesting, glad this has a future, and somebody's putting muscle behind it.
So Redgate, they make a whole bunch of SQL compare tools and things like that too, right? Data comparison and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If nothing else, this is a brilliant move by Redgate to just get their name out there. See, Redgate. Yeah, see?
Nice. We'll get our commission check soon.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I can go to Patagonia. This is interesting. Ars Technica is reporting that Seinfeld is apparently going to sing the praises of Vista. So we got to do our Seinfeld imitation. What's the deal with gadgets? I mean, are they gadgets? Are they widgets? Gadgets are on Live, Facebook, MySpace, and on Vista, but they're not the same. What's the deal?
So, I actually heard this on the radio today on the way to work.
Yeah.
All part of our ad campaign to go out and combat the Mac versus PC propaganda that's out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see what they come up with here. What's the picture of him with Burger King?
So he did some promos with Burger King. So and I know he's done, a lot of people probably know him as well from the American Express.
Right.
And apparently the company we're using is the same people that do the Burger King ads,
which
we cloned when we did Subservient
Programmer.
Exactly, which was a clone off of Subservient Chicken.
Yep.
But anyways, it should be interesting, and I'm hoping that they don't get blocked by creativity. And somebody inside doesn't say, no, we really want you to go safe.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyways, cool. This should be fun stuff.
Charlie Calvert, Future Focus, Document Map Margin.
Nice, you can read. Yeah. Excellent.
It's weird switching back from Spanish, man.
Oh, really?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what were my English words again?
Did you use any of those terms I gave you, by the way?
Sí, un poco. Sí.
Oh, sí. Okay. Matar mi amigo. Oh. Okay, so this is awesome. I want this thing, like, right now. So what it does is, on the right-hand column, it's a visual view of your entire document. So you can just jump to an area, and then you can
a
expand it.
A visual view, huh? Wow, that's fascinating.
I'm so glad he's back. I really am. This is how it goes all the time.
No, but it's a margin view, right? So you can quickly jump to...
Yeah, but you're viewing the entire doc. It's a visualization of the document that you can jump around in easily.
Okay.
So if you have, we're talking, what, 3,000 lines of code in one file?
Mm-hmm.
Like, boom, I can jump to different parts of that file automatically. I can stretch it out, and then sort of it does a zoom in, zoom out effect. So.
Okay. And so what is an idea for a future feature. It's not there yet.
Yeah, so, you know, nothing locked, caveat emptor, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But check it out, man. They're doing this so that customers can get feedback on IDE features before they release, and I think this is a great one. And, you know, there's a lot of opinionated people in the community. Make sure to get your opinion in there.
Cool.
So, cool stuff.
Okay. Greg Duncan?
Yes, talking about Sarah Ford's book.
Oh, that's right. I did read about this.
Yes, Sarah Ford. She does Tip of the Day, but I think the book is just called Microsoft Visual Studio Tips. Anyways.
251 Ways to Improve Your Productivity.
There you go.
So, I mean, Sarah Ford, of course, she has the Visual Studio...
Friend of the show.
Tip of the week, I think.
Tip of the day.
Tip of the day? Is it Tip of the Day?
Maybe. And yeah, so, Tip of the Day.
Yeah, and so now she's turned this into a book. But the
you
really
the cool part.
Thing...
Yes, go on.
Of course. Go for it. No, Sarah Ford, being from Waveland, Mississippi, which was devastated by Hurricane Katrina, and ever since Hurricane Katrina, she's been a big champion of trying to rebuild Waveland, Mississippi, and because, I mean, the town was literally wiped off the maps by Hurricane Katrina. I mean, it's one of those, as she describes it, it's one of those, you know, one traffic signal towns, right, that was just obliterated, and without her kind of backing the town, they really don't have a voice to say, you know, hey, let's rebuild.
Right.
So she's used her influence and the fact that she's a popular Microsoft blogger, and now she's donating all the royalties from her book to help rebuild Waveland, Mississippi.
Yeah, so, all the author royalties, 100% of the royalties go to help rebuild. So not only you should buy the book because the tips are great, mm-hmm. but you know, you can go home at night and smile. then at least it's going to a good cause, too.
Exactly. So good job, Sarah. That's awesome.
Yeah, we love Sarah.
Yeah. So what is this? Building a simple media center application. So I just got back in the office, so I haven't watched this yet. But I can imagine that this is pretty helpful, because I've actually tried to sit down and build media center applications before.
Right.
And just been completely befuddled and confused by the SDK.
Yeah. We love to create our own UI frameworks. And I think it's MCML, media center markup language.
Yep.
This is good. You want the quick and easy way to build your own media center application, and it's brought to us by Maddie Hardman.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Another friend of the show.
Like, so. He created it, or he blogged about it?
No, he just blogged about it.
Oh, so. Okay.
But that brings it to our attention, and hopefully the attention to tens of others.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
So cool stuff.
Okay.
The dev team for Evangelism Network actually released the source code for Evnet.
Oh, nice.
So using a Microsoft Public license.
Okay. Permissive license.
No, they changed it to Microsoft Public.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
MSP.
See, I go on vacation for 3 weeks.
I think they did it just to make it, like, obvious or something. So the source code's there. So if you want to build, you know, Channel 12, you can do that. Or Channel Nueve for just Patagonia news.
Nice.
You can do that now. Or you want to do penetration testing and really just find out ways to hack Channel 9. This is a great start.
Oh, that's an excellent suggestion.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So does this stay in sync then with any changes they make to the Channel 9 code base?
I don't know what their actual plans are, but it would be cool. Like, so, you know, if people are complaining in the coffee house, mm-hmm. be like, all right, you got the code. So you want XYZ feature added, or you don't like the way we do it? Go ahead. You know, do a tree split directly from the project. Merge your build over, and let's see how fast you can build a feature. Talking crap to our devs, okay?
So that would be really cool.
Sorry, I think
cool,
I've been
actually.
Watching too many cheerleader movies.
if somebody did go out and rehost, you know, Channel 9.1.
So they added like 10 features, and they were like infinitely scalable, and they did it in a permissive license. That would be awesome.
Yeah, where the only content was this week on Channel 9.
Yeah,
Everything else got cut.
Which is kind of funny too, like, especially if it's a developer community. Like, if people are really complaining, it's like, source code's here.
Yeah, exactly.
you really want this? Let us know when it's done. Okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whoa, don't, didn't want to crack open
it. In your tool. Channel 9 adding your features. All right.
Yeah, so it's available now.
Cool. Silverlight Olympics.
Yes. I think the stats are from Ars Technica, but they're from the 18th.
Okay.
But high-level numbers are there's over 250 terabytes of data that have been pushed out through NBC Olympics. And the other part is how good has this been for Silverlight downloads? It's actually been 8 million downloads a day.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, some really, really big numbers.
I've personally been catching up on the Olympics since I got back. Unfortunately, I feel your pain if you're outside the U.S. because of the licensing. You're not allowed to watch it outside of the U.S., but that's take that up with the IOC. You know, that's not MSNBC's decision. But it is really cool to be able to come back and watch all of the footage just as it was on TV. And do the control room thing. So you
yeah,
can watch
I love the highlight
feeds.
Reels. So for those of you that are soccer fans, there's like a top 10 goals in the Olympics.
Mm.
And there's one from Brazil that's like the most un-effing believable goal.
Oh,
like it's just like, it's like if you plan it on a textbook. It's just perfect, like player, header in. It's the most incredible goal. So you can always check out those highlights, which are always fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
So cool stuff. And speaking of the Olympics, actually I have a video clip. So I think this is Adam Kinney's in full force on Channel 9. But after his Olympics video, people had a bunch of questions.
Okay.
So this is sort of like Adam's follow up with Eric Schmidt on the questions that were asked in the forum. So it's great to see you have questions and we can answer them. But actually getting Eric in person and getting those answers is a great thing. So let's go to the clip.
Actually, if we could, I have a few questions from the viewers.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So let me
I like your card. I like your cards, by the way.
Yes, that's a hint, the drawing on the back there.
All right.
So if you can guess, why is it U.S. only? Everybody's been asking. What's the real answer?
Yeah, so the real answer is, first of all, that obviously the Olympics aren't U.S. only. The Olympics are worldwide, right?
Yeah.
And the way licensing works is the IOC, the governing body around the Olympics, they license those content rights to content owners and distributors, NBC being one of them. And they're licensed by geographic regions, so people purchase those rights for particular geographic regions. So in this case, NBC purchased the rights for the United States. And then they have to respect those rights because the same person who bought those rights in Canada or in Italy, et cetera, they want to ensure that the content is, you know, being delivered and consumed by the target audience that they were going after. So in this case, NBC owns those rights for the U.S., and people that want to see NBC content in the U.S., they get to see it.
Okay, so great. Yeah. Makes sense. So the next question.
Great interview there, Adam. I have to ask, though, what do you have any idea what those pictures are?
Yeah, so this is hilarious. It's like rather than writing down a list of questions, Adam decided to do a drawing for like each question.
That's awesome.
So like if there's a question about, you know, why is this only available in the U.S.? Because the IOC licensing you mentioned, like there's a flag, right?
Nice, nice. Well,
you know, how do you get to the full screen view? There's another flag.
Nice. So. What is that, nuclear proliferation? I've really got to watch this interview.
Exactly. So some pretty funny stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Speaking of other cool technology coming down the road, so we have this thing called the client profile, which is new in SP1. And Jamie Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Jamie. All right. Jaime Rodriguez talks about the client profile. So the client profile's one of the things that you download when I'm building a client application. I don't want to download the entire 100 meg framework. He goes into the specifics of how this is going to work. So after you install the client profile, it's actually going to show up, apparently, in Windows Update soon. Like, they're doing the, I think before anything can go into Windows Updates, they do, like, 6 weeks of additional testing in terms of the servicing, the install, the uninstall, and that whole process. And apparently what will happen is if you do have the client install, like, Windows Update will also automatically update that framework to the full framework later as well. So it's not just going to be the client profile install. You install an application that has that, it'll actually upgrade later using the background Windows Update to it. And a number of details around how the client profile install is going to work, how to have a separate bootstrapper, how to bootstrap it in your application, everything that you'd really want to know about that client profile installer.
And Visual Studio also provides some assistance to help you build your application and know whether or not you're using things that fall outside of the client profile, right?
Sure.
SP1 shipped while I was on vacation, so I'm relying on you to bring me up to speed here.
Yeah, so there is on the project properties after you install the VS framework, there's like the use client profile as well.
Right.
So you'll get, I think, errors or
warnings
some,
or something. Yeah. Cool.
So,
okay.
Picks of the week. Wow, we are flying through.
I've missed not having a pick of the week.
Yeah, so, and what is this picture of you? Is this
that is a
when you were on Doogie Howser? Or?
Yeah, that's, yes, that is from back on the show. But no, that's a portrait that Ari Bixhorn took. So these two guys I traveled with, Mike Geim and Ari Bixhorn, they are great photographers. So it was kind of like just a vacation by myself where I just had these two guys taking pictures, you know, kind of like my wedding extended for like 3 weeks, but yeah. It's
you got married? Something you need to say?
No. We'll talk about that off the air.
Wow, jeez.
They tell me, my lawyer tells me that anything that happened in Buenos Aires is not legally binding here. I think it's okay. It's going to blow over, but I shouldn't really comment further.
Well, we'll see if there's little Briannas later that you're paying support for.
Exactly. But no, but my pick of the week, this is Aid Miller. He's over in the Patterns and Practices team, and his team decided to do an experiment based around continuous integration.
Okay.
So they said, all right, let's capture the data from all of what we put into the continuous integration system, everything from building the server and maintaining the server, and what builds break when they go through the continuous integration, what types of build breaks those were. So this graphic actually shows a breakdown of the types of build breaks that you can have. So like FXCop, for example, means that, you know, that you've submitted some code that didn't meet the static analysis rules that were defined for that project.
Yeah, what that tells me, too, is maybe they weren't setting up FXCop great, too, right? Because, I mean, if you're doing a check-in, it should run FXCop before you check in, or you should set those rules that it checks in. I personally I can't stand the out-of-the-box experience with FXCop. You really have to customize
it. Yeah, turn it down,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, what do you mean you don't have international support for blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, dude, it's a coding for fun sample,
yeah,
for God's
sakes. Yeah, exactly,
So, okay, but this is awesome. I love seeing numbers on how things actually work.
Right, so the idea is that, you know, if you're on a team and you're not using continuous integration today and you want to consider whether or not you should, or let's say you're a champion but you need to take data to your boss, go take a look at Aid Miller's paper and his slide deck, and it may have some data that can help you sway your decision.
Okay, so there was 515 builds, and it looks like around 60 of them broke.
Yes.
So yeah. 60 divided by 515, that's like a number.
Yeah.
So
12%, yeah.
I'm just gonna let you go. So here's my pick of the week. Last week it was Deep LOL, which is Deep Zoom with LOLcats.
Oh, right.
Min H did Niner Photo Zoom Deep Zoom. So what it is, and maybe you can kind of sort of see an outline, it's a woman licking a Nine guy, but all the profile pictures of Niners are in there. So the picture is made up of these thousands of images of Niners.
And he somehow programmatically pulled all the images for all of the Niners.
Right.
So I found myself yesterday. That was
pretty
cool.
Yeah, where were you?
I'm in her finger, like one of her fingers down here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be in the middle finger. That's top placement. That's
yeah.
really rare.
Maybe a guy can dream.
That's where
you know?
Winners go. this is cool. I've yet to find myself. So challenge, and maybe I'm not in there, which is the other thing.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm like a top 50 person that joined Nine.
Yeah, but if you don't make men's, you know, you really, how can you consider yourself?
Yeah, so 50, I'm right? hoping this will sell out and men will just replace every picture with me. No. So this is cool.
So if
Very
you find
cool.
Dan, let him know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Awesome. So glad to have you back. Hopefully this wasn't too rambling for our watchers.
That's right. So we'll see you next week.
Thanks. Let's do it again, this time backwards.